I almost said good morning. I'm not used to doing this, the midweek class for everybody, but here I is. So, why be formal? Look over in Romans 12, please. How's everybody doing this evening? Very good. How are the teens doing? Come on. I'm not going to go through every ministry, I'm sorry. We're just used to having our time together now, but, we're with everybody today, so amen. Are you guys excited about Sunday? Yeah. Missions contribution? Come to church on Sunday with our missions contribution, being excited, giving God. Think about what God's going to do with the money. Sending the gold breasts over to Africa. Think about the blessing that they're going to be over there. Think about one day us being in our own building. I mean, God's just going to do great things. I'm looking forward to that. Let's not wait for our own building to be doing great things. Amen? This is a great building. We almost bought it, but we didn't, and that's all good. God had something different for us, huh? Romans 12, let's start off in verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For those of you that like titles, the title of my little lesson tonight is Living a Devoted Life. When you think about being devoted to God, give me some examples of people in the Bible that you could think of. Josiah, Noah, David, Abraham, Moses. Yes. Who, Luke? I like him, Luke. Amen. Job, there you go. The one that I was thinking about, because we're reading Romans, is Paul. Paul was very devoted to God. And we're going to talk about some of the standards that he sets for us as well. When I was thinking about this as well, when I think about devotion, I was thinking about marriage. When you're married and you do it God's way, you're supposed to be devoted to each other, right? You're supposed to be looking towards the need of your spouse and not your own needs. There are other relationships that we have that we need to be devoted to as well. Devoted to one another in brotherly and sisterly love, amen, in the church. With your actual siblings, not just fighting with them. And I know the little kids are not in here and they would say amen. But being devoted to them, making sure that, their needs are being met as well as your needs. But see, the funny thing about devotion is when you meet others' needs, your needs are met because they're trying to do the same thing for you. That's kind of what God wants, right? We're called to meet one another's needs. We're called to be selfless. And when we're selfless, it shows how deep our devotions go. I looked up in Webster's Dictionary what the definition of devotion is, and there's a couple that are very familiar. Religious fervor. When we think about devotion, that comes up to mind, right? An act of prayer or private worship. A religious exercise or practice other than corporate worship. I thought that was very interesting. The act of devotion of time and energy, the fact or state of being dedicated and loyal. When we think about being devoted to God, all these words come into play. Devotion is supposed to be a very personal thing. Even Webster turns around and doesn't give us credit for being devoted as a complete church. He's calling devotion is what we do when we're on our own. That's pretty convicting. It's very easy to be devoted to God or look religious when we're in this room. We have our Thursday best on. That's right. I'd rather be in some shorts. But we have our Thursday best on. We're here with the brothers and sisters. We're all cool, having a good time together. It's easy to be amening it and, that's encouraging bro and sis and all that kind of stuff. But what is life like when you're by yourself? When you're by yourself, how are your prayers? Are you devoted to prayer? Devoted means that it's our practice. And it's our regular private practice. How is your practice on worshiping God alone? Now, we have one of the best music ministries in the kingdom of God, I believe. I remember when we came here 5 years ago and we were interviewing for the job, we were like, we're coming here, man. These guys get down. And not only do they get down, because Melvin could go real, I mean, he could really get deep with you, but there's a respect about worship. There's something about the heart of worship that I believe that we do well. But you know what? God is not just going to credit us with what we do in the corporation, but individually. Do you spend time worshiping God alone? And what does that look like for you? You know, for me, sometimes it looks, you know, I listen to the fish sometimes. And, you know, some of the songs, or have a CD of my favorite Christian or gospel artist. And I do my best to sing along. When I say I do my best, if you've been next to me at church, you know what I'm talking about. But God doesn't care about that. He doesn't grade us. This isn't about The Voice. This isn't about American Idol. God loves it when we screech out to him in devotion. And, bro, guys, there's some screeches up in here, but I'm just saying. Amen. Amen. Don't laugh. I might be talking about you. But anyway, when we're devoted to someone, how do we act towards them? We want to hear from them, right? So when you're devoted to God, how do you hear from God? You're reading your Bible. Guys, this stuff is very elementary. You know, the coolest things about most sermons, they're always the same. Because God's standard doesn't change. We're not inventing anything new. This is just really just sticking to the basics. When you're devoted to somebody, you want to talk to them. Think about your best friend that you're devoted to. Don't you love spending time with them? Think about your spouse. You love spending time with that person. Amen. Amen. That's a lucky husband right there. Come on, a lucky wife. How's your time devoted to God? Are you excited to pray? Or do you pray because it's the Christian thing to do? Is it that checklist? Let me make sure that I'm being a disciple today. And okay, check. I prayed for 3.5 seconds. God, thanks for waking me up. I'll see you later. Now, sometimes we're going to have those prayers, right? Sometimes we're going to wake up late. We're going to be running. But is that your habit? See, we're talking about a lifestyle. We're not just talking about the you know, once in a while where we miss our quiet times. What is your lifestyle? Does your lifestyle show devotion? You know, in Romans 12, and we're going to read all of Romans 12. But in the beginning here, I love the way he starts off. He says, therefore, I urge you. You know, when someone's urging you, that it's very important about what they're about to say, right? He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Do you think about God's mercy often? Have you taken your salvation, if you've been a Christian for a little while, for granted? Are you comfortable in the grace? Are you comfortable that you're not doing the filth and flaunt that you used to do? Do you not recognize that just a couple of bad days, you could be right back to where you used to be? It takes devotion to stick close to God. And if we don't have that devotion, we will go backwards. And if we go back too far, we might not make it back. You know, our salvation isn't something to be played with. So here Paul is saying to the Roman church, he's saying, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. You know, these guys, you know, the Jews back then, they understood the messianic law about, you know, sacrificing lambs and birds and drink offerings and all that kind of stuff. And God is no longer interested in that. God doesn't want us to offer anything to him except ourselves. Think about that. Think about how much more personal it is when we offer to God everything that we have, the people that we are, the daily decisions that we make. It's a lot more personal than taking a lamb who we had nothing to do with and killing it and sacrificing it. The blood God wants is us, and it's the living blood that's in us. God doesn't want us to sacrifice ourselves physically. He doesn't want us to hurt ourselves, but he wants us to be devoted to him. So he goes, Paul tells these guys to make your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. What does it mean to be holy? Set apart. Difference. That our standards are different than the world. And we're going to look at further on. He talks more about that, actually, right now. He said, this is your true and proper worship. Verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. How are you transformed? It says right there, by the renewing of your minds. How do you renew your mind? By being devoted to God. How are you devoted to God? Pray and read your Bible. The circle of life. You know, Abby, we could just break out into song. There's a circle of spiritual life that we have to continuously do. And we have to make it a lifestyle and not just a once-in-a-while thing. Because you know what happens with once-in-a-while things? You have spurts of righteousness that are in between a lot of mediocrity. I don't think anyone in this room has signed on to be a mediocre Christian. When I read my Bible, God doesn't accept mediocre Christians. He says in Revelation 3, either you're hot or you're cold. I wish you were one or the other, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out my mouth. You know, the cool thing about our church and the people in this room, I believe that we have a lot of people that are totally devoted to God. I believe there's a lot of people here, and it proves it that you're here. Who here is tired? Raise your hand. Who had a long day at work? Who had a long day at school, teens? They already had their hands up, amen? They anticipated or think that school is work. But either way. But I don't want to take away from them. They work hard in school, especially the next couple of weeks. They're doing finals. You know, I'm on Facebook, and a lot of them are friends on Facebook. And, you know, I just finished this AP exam. I just finished this final. You know, we feel for you. I'm glad I'm not you, but I feel for you. We all had to do it. We all had to do it. Wait till college. But God is preparing us in everything that we do. Everything is training. Guess what? Work is training. Because guess what? If you aren't tired and you come here, where's the sacrifice? If we're all fresh and bushy-eyed, where's the sacrifice? The sacrifice is after a hard day work. After our feet are hurting, our knees are hurting, whatever else is hurting, that we make it. And that we only just don't make it, that we give of ourselves. That we show God our devotion by being devoted to one another. What is your heart when you come to the worship service, guys? Is it to meet needs, or is it just to have your needs met? It's very easy to come into a place that's so giving, really think about ourselves mostly. Because everyone is almost fighting each other. I want to serve you. No, I want to serve you. And you know what? There are seasons. There are some seasons that we need to humble out. Oops. We need to humble out and say, you know what? I do need to be served today. I do need some encouragement. And we need to open our mouths and say, hey, guys, I'm not feeling very good today. Can you encourage me? Can you pray for me? Can we pray together? It's okay. I'm not saying don't come to church if you're not fired up. What I'm saying is come with a heart ready to give, even if you're going through something. We're always going through something, right? You know, I gave Audie a call on Tuesday. Well, I was about to. And then I got a text saying, pray for me. I'm about to go. I'm going into knee surgery in an hour. I was like, what? I just talked to him, you know, a couple days before. He was in Miami over the week, and I just talked to him before he left. I'm like, what in the world? So, I'm friendly calling him, trying to find out what's going on, and he's not picking up. I'm like, ugh. But what can you do, right? So I prayed, got in touch with Jackie, and found out what was going on. And he's doing well. He's home resting. Pray for him. Call him. Encourage him. Audie does a lot behind the scenes that you guys don't know about. He does a lot of, he's the deacon of order of worship. And he does a lot of stuff behind the scenes. So let's be praying for him, but also let's be calling him. Amen. It was Tuesday, and we didn't have Bible talk because of the teens, and they had their finals. And I was like, man, you know, I need to go see him. I got to run out to see him, because I know if I'm in the hospital, I want somebody to come see me. And, you know, as far as I know, not a lot of people had called him or seen him, because a lot of people didn't know. So now y'all know, so please, let's make sure that we're calling them, amen? All right, so how do we do this? How do we sacrifice ourselves? Paul tells us not to conform any longer to the patterns of this world. Okay, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at this world and see its patterns. When you go to work, what are the patterns you see? When you're in school, for both high school and college kids, what's the pattern? The pattern definitely is not self-denial. You know, as Jesus' disciples, we're called to be devoted to God's teachings. By doing that, we glorify God and bring him other people. You know, the people in your jobs, the people in your school, notice that you're different. You know, I remember when I first became a disciple, before I was a disciple, I used to be a pretty violent kind of person. I know you can see that, but, and I was kind of rough. And go figure. But I was a lot worse. And I used to lead a little team at my job. And I used to literally cuss at them and scream at them to do their job. Now, management loved me because I got the jobs done. When I became a disciple, I realized that's not God's way. So I called a little meeting, and I apologized to them. They all looked at me like I was crazy. Well, I had another meeting with management. They're like, things in your department are slipping, and we've heard that you've gotten a lot softer. You need to get back to your old ways or we're going to fire you. And I was like, look, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I can't do that anymore. They said, well, we have a problem. If there are any more problems, you're going to get in trouble. So a week later, I got fired. A package was sent out, went to the wrong location, and it was actually for the CEO of the company. They called me at home, said, please do not report to work today. Well, what can I do? If these guys were only doing their jobs because someone's sitting over there cussing at them and threatening them, they should have been fired. I shouldn't have been fired, but that's another whole. You know, that's 18 years ago. I forgive them. But you know what happened? Guys from my old job called me. And they said, I'm sorry for what we did. I'm sorry that you got fired. I should have got fired. I was the one that did it. I said, hey, man, no problem. It's God's will, whatever. Why don't you come to church with me? There was two guys from that office that studied the Bible. Now, I'd love to sit here and say, and they got baptized, amen? That's not the case. But the case is that they studied. The case is that they saw Jesus in my life. The case is that they saw that I was so devoted, I was willing to lose my job to keep God's word ahead of my own will. And they were affected. Who knows what they're doing now? They might be disciples right now. Guys, think about all the people that you've put seeds in and that are disciples in other places. You know, Matthew Alford is getting baptized this Sunday. Yes. I got a text this morning from him saying, hey, I'm getting baptized. I said, man, fantastic. When? At 10 o'clock on Sunday. I said, I'll be there in spirit. Amen? You know, I would love to be there, but I can't. I have responsibilities. But I planted seeds while he was here. I did a couple of studies with him. You know what I mean? I poured out my life in him, so I feel personally invested in him. I wish I could be there. I would love to be there. But you know what? I'm not the hub of the wheel. Amen, bro. Get baptized. I'll see you in the fight. Think about how many people that you've thrown seed in, and God has made it grow. There are people in this life, I promise you, there are disciples because you've been a disciple. You know, the true pattern of this world is self-devotion. Man, we're so devoted to self. I have to make sure my needs are met. I have to make sure I'm doing good. I have to make sure it's all about me. Is that what our Bible talks about us? As disciples, we're called to be God-devoted. We're called to do that through the renewing of our minds. It's only through devotion to God that we can truly be renewed. Amen? Let's continue to read. In Romans 12:3, it says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us, to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You know, that's pretty incredible. Paul is literally calling the Romans to examine themselves. How often do you go on that trip? That could be a scary trip sometimes, can't it? I think the scariest trip is when you look in the mirror and say, where am I at today? And sometimes the mirror looks back and it says, you're doing pretty good today. And those are the good days. And then some days, we're not doing so well. What do you do on those days? To me, that's really what shows our devotion to God. What are we willing to do when we're at our lowest? We already talked about the basics, right? Reading your Bible and praying. But guys, the Bible says right here to be devoted to one another. Is this fellowship hot with people looking to help you out spiritually? And I'm talking about you personally. When's the last time somebody came to you in fellowship to encourage you about something? Whether it be encouragement that you're doing great, something great, or that you're maybe not doing something great. Both are encouragement, amen? You know, when we get together, you know, for discipling times, those are the times when we, you know, the iron sharpens iron type thing, and we try to help each other out. Is that the only time when you see stuff that your brother or sister might be lacking in? Actually, those are the times when I don't remember all that stuff. It's when we're walking around in life that I see something, I'm like, mental note, I need to talk to him or her later about that. Now, who's supposed to do that? Just the ministry staff? Just the Bible talk leaders? No, it's everybody. If you're a disciple of Jesus, if you see your brother or sister not doing well, you understand what happens with that. The Bible says that when sin gives birth and it's fully grown, what does it lead to? Death. So we're not walking around like sin sheriffs calling everybody out, but we're doing it in love. Hey, bro, hey, sis, man, I want to encourage you. You're doing this great. You're doing that great. Hey, I noticed something I really want to help you with. You know, I could be wrong. I always find that a very good way to start. I could be, because you could be wrong. You ain't Jesus. You have the Spirit of God living in you, but you know what? There's some discrepancies going on too. We need to ask, hey, you know what? I could be wrong. Let me ask you a question. I don't see you at midweek a lot. Hey, is everything all right? Don't just start calling people, slapping them upside the head with the Bible. Who are you? Now, granted, I believe people that do it out of a sincere heart to help. But I also believe it's damaging because it doesn't show the love of Christ. I think we're called to seek to understand, right? So before you start throwing your all-wise advice around, ask questions. They might have a sick mom at home. They might got gout. I don't know. They might have something going on. For those of you that don't know gout, it hurts a lot. But they might have a legitimate reason. There's a difference between a reason and an excuse. As disciples, we need to be in each other's lives, finding out and filtering the reasons and the excuses. Now, sometimes we don't know the difference, even for ourselves personally. Man, this is a reason. Nah, bro, that's an excuse. And even in the way that you break it to somebody, hopefully you try to do it a little gentle at first, and if they don't get it, maybe you come a little stronger. But guys, strong is not a weakness of many of us in this room. I think we need to learn how to be very gentle with one another. The Bible says do not break the bruised reed or snuff out the smoldering wick. It's very easy to slap somebody and keep it moving. That's easy. It actually feels good sometimes. Don't lie. You know it does. You see somebody in that same sin, it's like, still? Psh, repent. And you walk away. You might have just sent them to hell. You might have just sent them away with no hope. Because now they feel God feels that way about them. Frustrated and wanting to push them away. Now there is a time for rebuke. But it's after a lot of other things, amen? Guys, when we're devoted to God, God imparts us through the Holy Spirit wisdom about all this kind of stuff. So when we're devoted, reading our Bibles and praying, God is filling us up with how to help people. Before we open our mouths to help anybody, we need to be praying, begging God, give me advice. Tell me what to tell them. Tell me what to tell her. I know what I want to say, but change my words and let them be yours. And oh my gosh, you'll say stuff, they're like, whoop, did I just say that? I'm so wise, you know, and you wouldn't even realize it. And then you got to catch yourself and say, okay, God, I did pray about that, and you worked it out. You know, it's human nature to want to meet our own needs. But you know what? Through training and constantly thinking about it, we can change our nature. You know, by nature, men are supposed to be dogs, right? Looking at every woman that walks by. Brothers could preach about this. You've trained yourself, amen? Now, the nature's still there, and it might still creep up every once in a while, but if we're being devoted to God, God is helping us keep that back. God is helping us have a renewed mind, being transformed in our thinking. And God, I'm just picking on the guys. You women have got some stuff, too. I don't got time for that. But I just don't. We all have sin, right? That's the struggle. That's what we're fighting. We're not fighting one another. Oh, that's another sermon right there. Stop all the bickering, y'all. All the little bickering and backbiting that doesn't, it's not necessary. When somebody comes and disciples you, humbly take that. Even if they say it wrong, appreciate that they came up to you. They could have just kept on walking by. Now, is it hard to get that sometimes? Absolutely, especially if you're not in a spiritual place. You want to throw your hands up and fight. But that's why we need to be devoted to God. You know, when you're devoted to God, it is shown by the way you prioritize your life. See, when you're devoted to God, special contribution wasn't just realized today. We didn't start calculating numbers right now in the service. You know what I mean? When everybody else is praying, man, what am I going to give on Sunday? That's this Sunday? See, when you're prioritizing, when you're devoted to God, you've already prioritized the kingdom of God into your lifestyle. So you're working through your finances. When you put God first, you're working through your schedule so that you will have time to get with people, that you will get your discipling times in, that you will be able to be at midweek, that you will be able to study the Bible with people. I mean, the last time I checked my Bible, that's what our main primary goal is. Now, don't roll your eyes and say, oh gosh, here he goes with another sermon about sharing our faith. I know that there are people out there like that, and they've told me, oh, that's all we talk about, because that's our primary function, guys. But I also agree, that's not something that we also need to talk about all the time. It just needs to come from the overflow of the devotion. See, when we're devoted to God, we're devoted to the things God is devoted about. And God is devoted about the lost. He doesn't want to see anyone lost. Every single person on this planet that is breathing is God's sons and daughters. And he wants to use us, to utilize us, to bring them home. The prodigal son, he wants us to find his sons and daughters. That's what we're supposed to do. And why do we do this? It's out of love. Why are we devoted to God? It has to be because of love. You know, like I said before, we have a lot of devoted people in our church. And you see it through the acts of service. And this Saturday, a whole bunch of the singles are going over to a, I forgot the name of the place, but I wrote it down. I'll find it. Don't you hate that? Anyway, it's a long-term hotel, and they go once a month to feed the homeless, and they also give the homeless clothes. And I was talking to a brother that really does a lot with it, and he says they really almost want the clothes more than they want the food. That's amazing, isn't it? That in this day and age, that people are going without food and clothing. Well, these singles, and I'm not trying to take away their, you know, that's why I'm not mentioning by name, their reward in heaven, but these guys are going monthly in different teams to do this. That's devotion. That's not just devotion to people, but that's to God. Why? Because those are God's people. Jesus says, if you feed me, if you feed one of them, you fed me, right? And he goes on and on. Now, I could sit here and talk about so many other projects that are going on and whatever. I'm not going to do that. You're going to get your reward in heaven. We do not do, and we're not devoted for rewards. We're devoted because we've already been rewarded with a relationship with God and our salvation. You know, there are many unsung heroes in the church. There are many people that run around here, and you're like, why are they always running? It's because they're going to serve. They're going to do something. Sometimes you don't see a lot of people in here. They're not missing church. They're running around there in Kids Kingdom with our children. I call you that if you have a child, teach. It's just simple, guys. If you have a child, teach. Me and my wife, when we were in the Tampa Bay church, we taught rotation after rotation after rotation because a lot of parents just, unfortunately, they wouldn't serve. So one year, they solved all that. They canceled all classes. They said, unless we have teachers, we're not going to have classes. All of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord moved, and we had teachers like crazy. Why? Because they didn't want the kids in the service. You know, who wants to see that come to that here? I don't want to see that come to that. My kids are in that Kingdom's Kids, and I appreciate Kingdom's Kids. And if I wasn't leading the teens ministry, I'd be over there teaching. I love the kids. They're fun. Don't think that coming to church is a break from your kids. That's not what it's designed. We're trying to teach these guys something so that one day they could be here giving this out. So I encourage you guys. I challenge you guys. If you have a child and you haven't taught, I pray you pray about it and then it becomes your conviction to teach. Amen? That wasn't in my notes. Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Let's continue to read in Romans 12, verse 9. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who mourn. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lower position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Wow. If that doesn't overwhelm you, read that over again on your own time. Think about all the things that God, through Paul, is telling us what devotion looks like. Imagine if we all live like this all the time. We wouldn't have room in the sanctuary. Because people will be asking you. You don't even have to share your faith. Well, actually, I don't like that term. You don't have to invite people to church. Sharing your faith and inviting people to church are two totally different things. We'll see. Anyway, we'll see if we have time. People will ask you, why are you different? Why do you not get overwhelmed? Why at work when everybody else is grumbling and complaining, you don't? Do you join into those little coffee time huddles when everybody's talking about the boss, shaking their head and getting all mad and being unrighteous and disrespectful, not being grateful that they even have a job? We live in a hard economy right now, don't we? I mean, people are We need to be grateful for our jobs. You don't need to be backbiting the people that are giving you your job. Now, you have a legitimate gripe. There are avenues and ways to go about it. And there are ways that you got to just bite your lip and just be quiet. Or you'll get fired. That's just what the world we live in. Start a corporation and you can run it the way you want to then. Easier said than done, right? But are you part of those circles? Are you sipping your tea or coffee or water, you know, with snide little comments? I remember when I was working in a company, before I came here, I was in an insurance company. And there was a coworker of mine, and amen. He was crazy. But I believe he was there by God, because he would challenge me on my faith all the time. There was one time I was doing just what I just said. I was complaining about something. And I'm sitting there, and I was good at it too, man. I was twisting my neck. I was mad. They're going to cut our commissions? What? We working all hard over here. They're going to get more money to management. Blah, 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 blah. Sounded crazy. You know what he did? He stood up. And we had the little half partitions. He stood up, and he pointed to my Bible that was sitting on my desk. And he said, "Sir, I present to you your Bible." I was like, oh, Lord. That was the biggest discipling time I ever had. I had this heathen. I mean, this dude is not just didn't know God. He totally would go to task with me over God. You talk about that song, "Jesus Take the Wheel." Oh, they made fun of me off. Oh, Jesus take. That was my theme song. I come into the office, they start singing "Jesus Take the Wheel." I would walk around, I'd play. But anyway, don't let them get you mad. Just go run with it, whatever. And this boy, this turnaround man, sorry, he pointed the Bible and said, "I offer to you your scriptures." And then one day, he looked at me, he says, "I am here as a test for you to see if you truly are who you say you are." What? Did Satan just get a job at my company? And he just took off the mask and said, "Hi. You want some coffee? Can I warm that up for you?" You know, he's like, "What?" I mean, he was bold, just right in my face. And I was like, and I had to watch my P's and Q's, especially when he was around. But how much more do we just need to do it and live that lifestyle? I remember when we got hired for this, I was just a little excited. And I went to work that day. And I probably told this story, so bear with me. But I went to work that day, and I was on the phone with somebody, ran up to my office. I was busy that day, didn't have lunch. And at the end of the day, I'm looking for my keys, my car keys, and I couldn't find them. So I'm like, and I'm just laughing, walking around looking for them. And one of my coworkers, who I had studied the Bible with, came up to me and says, "Teach me to do that." I said, "Do what?" He said, "You can't find your keys or your house keys or your car keys, and you're walking around laughing and smiling." I said, "You know what, man? When God is God up in the, you know, in the, God is the same God in the mountain as he is in the valley." And he said, "I want to learn how to do that." And then I wound up walking to my car, and I left my car running the whole day. Yeah. And in July in Tampa, Florida, I was that excited to get hired, but amen. Yeah. I was just a little bit excited. But the cool thing is, because I was devoted to God, and I had just got hired, I didn't care about the keys. I was like, "I'll find them. It'll be all right." And this guy was watching and noticed. See, I know you guys have been blessed with people coming up to you, telling you stuff like this. I ain't the only one. I had another coworker who used to tell my wife, this lady is from God, because she used to keep on telling me, "You're going to be a minister one day." And God hadn't even told me yet. He hadn't confirmed it yet. It was just a desire in the heart. And I'm just like, whatever, you know. But she saw the way I lived, and every once in a while saying, "What's the name of your church?" And I would tell her, "The Tampa Bay Church of Christ." She goes, "No, that's not your church. I'm talking about your church." I was like, "This lady's creepy. Is she from Satan or God? I don't know." But because she saw me, and she saw what I was trying to do, she goes, "I watch you. I see you talking to people about God. You're going to have your own church one day." And there was a time where I was like, "No, it's not me. It's not going to be me." And then God blessed me. And we all have a church, don't we? We're all part of the leadership of this church. That's another sermon, but it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. All right, what time do we usually finish here? 9 o'clock? Okay. All right, verse 9, it says, love must be sincere. What does it mean to be sincere? Truthful, honest. Your love for God needs to be displayed in honesty and truth. It can't just be coming here looking Christian. It has to be true devotion to God is love. When you just love God, I love you, God. You know that song we sing, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice? If you only do all that at church, you're missing out at the most important part of your relationship with God. That intimate time when it's just you and him. When you're singing to him and he's the only audience and he's basking in your love. And as we live, don't we bask in God's love, in his grace and his mercy? Man, we serve a sovereign God. We serve a God that loves us deeply. And we serve a God who was devoted to us before we even thought about being devoted to him. As we live our lives, we need to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. To cling is to attach, to hold on to. You know, I was talking to somebody, we were studying the Bible with somebody recently, and he was like, sin is just good. It tastes good. It feels good. And I said, you're right. It does. But so does holiness. So does righteousness. So does holy dating. When you get to bring the sister home before midnight and bring her home to her home and y'all say goodnight, bye, hug, whatever, and it's pure and righteous and clean. And you can go before the mirror and say, I treated her as a sister and I treated him as a brother. It's when you don't taint your marriage bed, when you keep that relationship pure. God blesses that. When you're a single and you live singly, devoted to God. And you do it joyfully, not reluctantly. Think about how many people in the world, they go to church on Sunday out of reluctance, not out of devotion. God is calling us to live a life with him. It says in verse 11, never be lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And you know, honestly, I don't think that's an issue with us. I believe as disciples, we really want to serve people. We want to serve God. But he says, never be lacking in zeal. You know when that applies? When your body says, no, I don't feel like it today. The game is on, and yeah, I know homeboy's in the hospital, but he'll be all right. The Knicks are playing. Or the Heat is playing. Whoever you want to be playing is playing. Or you know what? I had a long day at work. They'll still be there tomorrow. Do you know when Jesus is coming back? If you do, please let me know. I want to work that in my schedule. You know what I mean? I want to be ready. None of us know when Jesus is coming back. So he calls us to be devoted to him all the time. We need to be ready. Then he goes, and I'm not going to read all this for time's sake. He goes into all these other things. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Think about that one. I bring you back to your job. To that person that took the last cup of coffee and you wanted to repay them evil for evil. Give them the grounds and not the coffee. But I mean, somebody that cut you off, you were ready to say, you're ready. Some people, disciples don't struggle with road rage, right? Oh, I just called somebody out. But anyway, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Do you have an open door policy? That if they're at your door, you open it? And you're willing to feed them? And I tell you one thing, with the teens, you know, they eat a lot of my food. And we're okay with that. We're okay when people come into my house, but we offer it to them. We also have don't go in my refrigerator rule, too. We had one guy one time trying to fix himself some leftovers. I was like, real? For real? Amen. But I was like, that was going to be my dinner tomorrow. But anyway, I digress. when your enemy's hungry, do you want to feed him naturally? No, you want to kick them. You want to treat your enemy as they're treating you. But God flips the script on us. And he says, treat people the way you want to be treated. And guess what? That displays your devotion to me, not to your own ideals. See, we all have our ideals, don't we? Some of us were raised in good homes, and our moms and dads gave us, you know, be a gentleman, open the door, do this and do that. They might not have taught us the Bible, but they taught us some things so we don't look as crazy as some people in the world. But what ideals are the ones supposed to, the ideals are supposed to come out? It's the biblical ideals that will save people's souls. Open the door is a nice thing to do, and I advocate doing that, and I do that myself. But that's not going to upset anybody to heaven. The ideals God wants us to do is to treat your enemies like they're your friends, and they might just become one. They might become your brother. You know, in verse 9, he calls us to, for love to be sincere. You know, how do we keep our love sincere? I believe it's through prayer and constant practice. Some of us are just not naturally loving people. I'm not a ushy-gushy feely, come here, I mean, no. I'm not the one. I'd rather hit you. What's going on, man? I'm rough. But I do love people because I've had 18 years of practice. Because Christ loves me, and it compels me to love others. And it compels me and brings me to places where I'm uncomfortable. I love seeing the kids in the hallways. Guys, I pray, please, love up on our children. You know that they see Jesus every time you walk by them? You are a representation of Christ. I want my kids to have best friends that are older than them. I want them to have aunties and uncles and, you know, grandparents or whatever. When they see you at church, I want them to say, Mr. Mike. They love Mr. Glenn Hayes. Oh, my gosh. My son would die for Mr. Glenn Hayes. Twice on the same day. You know, he loves him. And my son loves a lot of you guys, and my daughter does as well. But that's because you've shown them that love. That, to me, that just shows our devotion to God first. You know, being devoted does not start to God, doesn't start at church. It starts in our hearts. Our love for God must be sincere, and we must continue to grow in our devotion to Him daily. Amen? Amen. Love you guys. We'll see you on Sunday.